You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Reversed the trial judge's decision and remanded, which means they sent it back for a do-over. And that's the last thing that a trial judge wants. Unfortunately, in family law, it happens all the time. You rarely get the appellate division making a decision that they don't. Well, I shouldn't say rarely, but it happens all too often that they send something back to the trial court. But in this case, what the appellate division said is they just couldn't tell based on the record whether there was any factual support. So that was the issue in that case, and that was it. And that's the end of the program. We'll be back right after the news.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Justice Department will investigate the Baltimore Police Department to determine if there are practices that are unconstitutional or violate civil rights. Attorney General Loretta Lynch made the announcement this morning.
This investigation will begin immediately and will focus on allegations that Baltimore Police Department officers use excessive force, including deadly force, conduct unlawful searches, seizures, and arrests.
The move was in response to the death of Freddie Gray, who was seriously injured in police custody last month. Thousands of police officers from across the country paid their respects to Officer Brian Moore today in New York City. The 25-year-old was shot in the head Saturday by an armed suspect. New York Police Commissioner Bill Bratton gave the eulogy.
I posthumously promote Police Officer Brian Moore, Shield 469, the detective, first grade, New York City Police Department.
This is USA Headline News.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings, because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
The nation's midsection is bracing for another bout of severe weather today and throughout the weekend. Forecasters say conditions are ripe for tornadoes, hail, and thunderstorms. A tropical storm warning has been issued for parts of the Carolinas. Subtropical storm Anna is expected to start moving toward the coast soon with sustained winds of 45 miles an hour.
We should see a gradual northwestward motion toward the coast sometime on Sunday with possible landfall maybe Sunday evening.
That was Navy Hurricane Specialist Dave Roberts. The Pentagon has ordered all military installations to boost security. It comes amid general threats by ISIS, but nothing specific. Yesterday, ISIS claimed to have trained soldiers and terror cells positioned in 15 states. The stock market has been getting a boost from the April jobs report, which showed that employers are still hiring at a steady pace. They added 233,000 jobs last month as the unemployment rate fell from 5.5% to 5.4%. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
This is a very important weekend for 33 Texas prisoners as they graduate from the Behind Bars Seminary to become pastors. USA's John Clemens reports.
The privately funded program that is taught by professors from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary has a total of 185 prisoners working on their degrees from behind bars. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says not only will this weekend reflect the success of the 33 individual inmates, but also the program itself that has improved both prisoner morale while it has also reduced the violence in the penal system against guards.
They are going to be our first inmates to become pastors.
I'm John Clemens.
Saudi Arabia says it has intensified airstrikes against Shiite rebel strongholds in Yemen in response to cross-border attacks targeting Saudi cities. The Saudi press agency says the coalition airstrikes targeted the northern province, which is the stronghold of the Iranian-backed Shiite rebels known as Houthis, destroying a landmine, a telecommunications complex, and command centers. President Obama is in Oregon to visit Nike headquarters and promote his trade agenda. The pitch is the latest in the fight to win Democratic support for a massive Trans-Pacific Commerce Agreement. But trade critics point out that Nike is a massive outsourcer of manufacturing jobs, and they say such offshore work exemplifies the U.S. job losses that free trade agreements would cause. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, good afternoon. The sports guys will be starting momentarily. Just wanted to give you some news about the weather. Be careful if you're out there late tonight because there should be fog after 1 a.m. Foggy in the morning in case you have to get out early. So really be careful in the fog because there are a lot of potholes. And pretty easy when it's foggy to hit not only a pothole but hit a deer. But actually, tomorrow should be nice later on, at least partly sunny. Sunday, partly sunny, high of about 84 degrees. Again, Sunday night there might be some drizzle, and Saturday night some drizzle. But all in all, it looks like a good weekend. Not as nice as today. It was just beautiful today. But going into Monday, we have about 40% chance of some thunderstorms. So, in any event, the sports guys today, I'm Pat Smits, and we have...
Ken Milstray. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Ken? We missed you last week. We talked a lot about the draft.
I'll bet. Last week was the show of the year, right? You had the draft. We've got baseball in full swing. We've got hockey playoffs. We had Kentucky Derby. We had the big fight Saturday night.
Right.
There was so much to discuss, and there I was at work and missed the whole thing. I couldn't even listen in or call in, so it was disappointing.
It really was. Last week was probably, when you think about it, so much was going on. But also, you know, the draft, I wonder how many people watched a part of that, because it's really a non-sporting event when you think about it. It's up against the boxing of, you know, that they've been talking about for, what, 2 or 3 years. And, of course, the Kentucky Derby on Saturday is always quite a spectacle. And that was amazing this year.
Can I make a confession?
Yes.
I've never watched the NFL draft.
Never. You never have?
Never. Because you know what? I should say that. I watched about 25 seconds of it, and they announce somebody's name, and then you see them celebrating with their family, and then nothing happens for 10 minutes, and then they announce somebody else's name, and you see them celebrating with their family. As a person who is not necessarily a huge college football fan, I mean, I watch the bowl games and stuff, but I don't know the players that well. The names really don't mean a lot to me, Pat. I need an expert at the end of the draft to tell me if the Giants had a good draft or the Cowboys had a good draft or whatever the case may be, because I don't know. I mean, it looks good. Yeah, the Giants drafted a 330-pound guy in the first round who plays offensive line. Great. Great pick.
Well, sometimes they'll show some of their college play, but I agree with you. I don't follow college ball. I follow the Badgers. I was really pleased to see Melvin Gordon. Actually, I wanted him to go to the Packers, even though they didn't need a wide receiver, because I just thought he would fit well with the Packers. But the one thing I do remember this year, the top two guys were, in fact, at home celebrating with their families,
right,
not in Chicago, although the Chicago spectacle, and if you didn't see it, it was amazing. I mean, this was... the television event of, you know, for those of us who like football, it was pretty spectacular.
I guess it gets great ratings and all that, but to me, it's, I don't know, it's almost like it's a made-up show. You know what I mean? It's like a made-for-TV show that I can't get into it. With everything else going on, I just can't get into watching a draft.
Well, as I said, but I don't remember, but remember, if you'd never watched it, usually, you know, they have the green room where a lot of the players, and you expect the top 4 or 5 players, right, to be waiting right there in the green room. And then, of course, they go out on stage and, you know, they do it that way. But this year, because the first two quarterbacks picked, you know, were home with their families. But I'll never forget poor Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he was sitting and sitting and sitting. Oh, and they had the television, and they'll play it over and over now, right, all these years later, that, you know, he was sitting and sitting and sitting. And it must have been just excruciating,
right,
to sit there and hear all of these people, because that year, you know, since he was not taken, and he thought he was going to be selected by San Francisco. I mean, I think he really thought that was in the bag. He wanted to play for San Francisco. And then for them to have and take another quarterback instead of him.
Who did they take? Alex Smith?
Yes, they took Alex Smith.
Wow, big mistake.
And
big mistake.
And, of course, at the time, although he didn't say it, but Aaron Rodgers must have been really disappointed, because remember, when the Packers picked him, you know, Brett Favre,
right,
was, you know, on the top of his game. So Aaron had to realize that he was not going to get to play.
Right, yeah.
He didn't get to play.
How many years was he on the
bench? 6.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was 6. Could have been 5. No, I think it was 6 years. And then time. Only because they kind of forced Favre out.
Then he went on to a second career with the Jets and the Vikings.
Right.
The retirement tour.
But I really think that at the time, I remember at the time I felt that they pushed Favre out. I didn't think they should. I was a big Favre fan. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers handled that as such a gentleman. I mean, he really did. He's a class act.
Right, he's a good guy.
And frankly, although I hate to admit it, I think he's a better quarterback, because he's not such a gunslinger.
Right.
So
yeah, you make a good point. I guess that's the thing with it's almost like a reality TV show. You see people so happy when they get drafted, and they're jumping up and down and being congratulated by the commissioner and hugging their parents. And then you have the other guy that didn't get drafted, still sitting in the draft room by himself.
Right.
I mean, it's like reality TV, right? It's like, when is this guy going to get picked? The drama's there. I guess, I don't know. I'm not a big reality TV person either. So.
No, I don't watch reality TV. But I will say...
Except for Pawn Stars. I do watch Pawn Stars.
You do?
If you've never watched Pawn Stars, you should watch it. Pawn Stars.
Oh.
It's about a pawn shop in Las Vegas.
I have watched that once in
That's
a while.
That's a great show.
But I think that what is interesting to me is in the last few years when I've watched some of the draft, I will then tend to follow these rookies a little bit more than I did in the past. In other words, one of the question is, which is going to be the best rookie wide receiver when they get into the NFL? Or which of the rookie quarterbacks is going to have the easiest transition into the NFL?
Well, let me ask you this, Pat. Were you happy overall? And I know we have no idea yet how things are going to turn out, but were you happy overall with the Packers draft?
I think so, yes. I mean, I would have liked to have them take Melvin Gordon. They wouldn't get him because he went, I think, at 15, and they didn't have a pick until 30.
Right.
But they seem to, as far as I can tell, they seem to have done a good job. But
right.
Again, I don't know enough of the college players. Apparently, probably the team that got the best guy was the Cowboys. And, I'm blanking on who they took.
You're talking about the free agent they signed or no?
Well, who's the free agent?
Someone named Lael Collins.
Yeah.
Who was allegedly a top 10 talent. He
right.
didn't get drafted at all because he was being investigated for the murder of his girlfriend,
yeah.
of all things.
Well, the story was at the time that he was not being investigated. He wasn't a suspect, but that he had to leave Chicago and go back to Baton Rouge? He had
yes.
to go back to Baton Rouge.
See, Pat, you say you don't know. You know this stuff.
He had to go back to Baton Rouge because of the investigation. And you're right. They picked him up. He wasn't drafted. They picked him up. That might be the best bargain of the entire draft.
I'm surprised that somebody didn't take a shot at him in like the sixth or seventh round.
Well,
at that time, what do you got to lose? No?
Yeah, but you know why? I think that with all of the stuff that has been going on, it's just like, what are they going to do with Brady? I think commissioner is really on a hot seat because of everything that's happened recently.
I think they have to suspend him, no?
I would think so, but,
I mean, all evidence points to him.
All evidence points to that he was involved in it.
Right. I mean, it seems so silly, but I think they have to suspend him.
Well, you know what it made me think of, though, is why don't both teams use the same ball?
That's a great question. I never knew that until this whole thing started. I thought, okay, next football, bring it out, and they throw it out there.
I thought the same thing. I think everybody thought that. Why would each team, use their own footballs? I mean, doesn't that just smack of someone trying to do something to get an advantage?
It sounds like every team has their own custom football.
Well,
why wouldn't they if they're not using the same ball? Right?
Now,
that's what I thought. I said, well, this sounds like something everybody does then. No?
Well,
overinflated, underinflated, whatever.
It certainly leads to that type of thing.
It's crazy, though. The one guy said it takes 20 minutes per football to deflate them to the point that they were at.
Oh, really? That I didn't hear.
It's a big process. I just thought this was some kid over in the corner. Tss, let's roll air out. Okay, next. They said it's a 20-minute thing.
Oh, so then it truly is deliberate. I mean,
oh,
it's
absolutely.
It's not like they...
This is no accident.
Certainly not inadvertent.
And how many footballs they use? 12? Is that the number I heard? I'm not even sure.
I'm not sure how many, but as I said, it seems to me that they could cure that problem by using the same footballs. And why wouldn't they?
I'm stoked.
Why wouldn't they have a box of footballs and let the referees take the next football, whoever...
That's like in baseball. The home team plays, the pitcher gets one set of balls,
right.
and the visiting team brings in their own and plays with their own baseballs. Makes no sense, right?
Do they?
No.
I didn't think
so. I don't get it. Yet, as part of this 240-page write-up after the investigation, the referees at the game said, where are the Patriots footballs? They said they didn't know what they were missing.
What?
The referee said the footballs were missing.
Well, then where were they coming from?
They didn't know. They didn't know.
And nobody said
anything? Nobody said boo.
Oh, that's pretty incredible.
That sounds like a nod and a wink, right?
Yeah,
the Patriots footballs are missing. Okay, let's get ready for kickoff. But I think they have to suspend them. And, I think the whole thing is way out of proportion. I think they have to do something, though. Right? They have to react.
Well, I think they do because, the fact is, it's like the steroids. Then people start really suspecting,
right.
Why is this happening? Why, and it's the kids that we're teaching our children.
It's okay to cheat, right?
To cheat, and it's okay.
You know what I like the Patriots. If you remember, turn the Wayback Machine 3 months ago, I was rooting for them to win the Super Bowl. So I like Belichick, I like Brady, but nobody can tell me that this was going on and Bill Belichick didn't know anything about it.
Well,
I don't believe that for a second.
Really?
He may have distanced himself from it, but there's no way he doesn't know it. This guy knows everything that goes on with everyone on that team. He doesn't know what the inflation is on the footballs.
Well, if he was involved, that's really very, very sad.
Yeah. I think Brady took it upon himself to deflate the footballs. I don't believe that for a second.
So are you going to start watching the rookie mini camps that I believe started today?
Negative. I'll start watching in July when they report to training camp.
Okay.
And even then, I'm not a preseason football fan either.
Well, the real problem here in the fall is the weather is so nice.
Right, exactly.
And, what Dave and I have started to do, and it doesn't always work. It sometimes backfires because we can't listen to the radio. We can't have anybody call. One time John called and left a message like, wow, aren't you surprised at how well or how poorly the Packers are doing? And, of course, what we had done is we had taped the game, and we were going to watch it, in the evening. And so you have to be very careful because the last thing you want to do is know the score when you start watching the game. But that's my brother started doing that out in Wisconsin because they don't have much nice weather. So he said if they get a good Sunday, the last thing he wants to do is sit in the house.
Right.
And the games out there start at noon. So,
right,
I mean, you're
right.
Really you're spending your entire day.
Yeah, September's tough. September's about as good a month as we get here in New Jersey.
It is.
It's usually not too hot, not too cold, blah, blah, blah.
Well, even into October, get some nice weather.
Sometimes it's tough to just sit in front of the TV. But, overall, I was happy with the Giants. They drafted a 6'5", 330-pound offensive lineman who was allegedly, according to the pundits, the best offensive lineman on the board when it was their turn. So
they
get a check for that. Then they traded up. This is something that never would have happened 20 years ago. The Giants traded up to get a safety.
Right. I thought that was amazing. And, in fact, they did a lot on that trade. They really gave up a lot on that trade.
Yeah, they really did. But safety in the last 10 years really has become such an important position because every team you play a nickel package, you play a dime package, and all those nickel and dime extra players in the defensive, they're all safeties. So you better have at least three, maybe four good safeties on your team, and this guy can apparently play the run, and he can play drop back and cover, and he can blitz when he has to, and he's the whole package. So, yeah, I'm thumbs up. And their third-round pick, which was a defensive lineman who I have no chance to pronounce his name. Not a chance on the planet. It's got apostrophes in it. His initials are O-O. He was rated a potential first-round pick, and they got him in the middle of the third round.
Wow. I mean, that's what's always so amazing. But I wonder what the Ravens are going to do now that their great safety, Ed Reed, retired. And, he was really, apparently, even quarterbacks like Brady and Peyton Manning, they did not. They would mention him when they had to play the Ravens because that's how terrific he was. I really don't know him much other than I know that he's one of the top safeties. And, I mean, I always thought of Troy Polamalu as, you know, but they were different. I mean, they were really, they were different.
Well, Reed always made, I'm probably in the same boat as you because I'm not a Ravens fan, but they make the playoffs almost every year, and it seems like whenever there was a big game, it was Ed Reed making the big play.
Yep.
You know, it's inevitable. Some people just have the nose for the ball, whether it's a tackle or an interception or fumble recovery, whatever it is. It was Ed Reed in the middle of it, and he was so responsible with he and Ray Lewis for many, many years responsible for that defense. Now, hey, the Ravens got to move on. They did okay last year without Ray Lewis.
That's true.
Now they have to, you know.
But, I mean, somebody who I think I heard over his years of playing, he had something like 64 interceptions.
Crazy,
you know,
right? For
I mean,
safety,
really,
that's a lot.
Really a lot for a safety. A
first ballot Hall of Fame, I guess.
Oh, I would think so.
I mean, talk about him as the best safety that ever played. That I've heard that said.
Really?
Yeah, so that's
well,
pretty
I know
high
that,
praise.
You know, there might be, but I think they played so differently, but they're, you know, I think they're in the same category as somebody like Troy Polamalu. I remember watching Leroy Butler, who I thought was a good safety, but not that caliber.
Yeah, it's funny. You know? Like I said, 20 years ago, you would never seen a team trade two or three picks to move up seven spots to get a safety. Safety was the guy, growing up, safety was the guy who wasn't fast enough to play cornerback. Okay, you can play safety. You know what I mean? It was almost like the leftover cornerbacks.
That's interesting.
That's how I always looked at it. And nowadays, it's not the case at all. I mean, safety is the key position on defense because linebacker is devalued. With all these, you know, with all the different offensive packages, with all the receivers, you can't have a 260-pound linebacker trying to cover. You have to have somebody who can...
Huge.
You have to have somebody smaller and more mobile. And especially with the way the quarterbacks play now with these West Coast offenses, the safety, you know, the defensive backfield has to be able to do both.
Well, and, you know, obviously the Giants knew what they were doing. And it, you know, you kind of sit back and surprise, but that's like Ted Thompson. I mean, Thompson has always been someone who would draft the next best player.
Right.
I think that's why Aaron Rodgers was drafted. I would have thought at the time, you know, the Packers would need a quarterback only if something happened to Brett Favre, and even then, I mean, he was just, you know, I mean, he was indestructible. So I would have thought, and it's interesting. I don't know. I've never really followed up on that to find out if at that point they just thought Aaron Rodgers was the best guy, and that's why they're going to draft him. And obviously, if they draft the next best guy, they can always, you know, trade them.
Right. Well, that makes sense because they had Brett Favre at the time. He was at or near the prime of his career. They, you know, it's not like they went out there looking for quarterback in the draft.
Oh, no, they didn't.
He happened to be the next best player, so it turned out to be a great move.
And what happened, as I recall, in that draft, after Alex Smith, I think was Roethlisberger in that draft too.
Roethlisberger
was either
Roethlisberger came out with Eli Manning, and
all right, you're right.
The guy from the Chargers.
But the point is there were Rivers. A lot of other teams that picked before the Packers. I think they picked 24th, 26th, or something that year. And there were a lot of other teams, but they didn't need quarterbacks.
Right.
So, which was the other thing, is poor Rodgers is sitting there.
Sitting in the green room.
I think there might have been one other guy still in the green room at that time.
You know, I heard a crazy stat. I do hear about the draft, even if I don't watch it, Pat. The Giants, in the last 20 years, their average draft position was 23. This year they picked 9th. There's only one other team in the NFL had a worst average draft position of the Giants. Can you guess it?
Eagles.
Nope.
No. Wait. Who would that be?
When I tell you, you're going to say...
Tennessee?
You're going to say, oh, yeah.
Tennessee?
It's the Colts. They were losers of Peyton Manning when they were winning division championships and therefore got bad draft position.
Oh, you're thinking it the other way around. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought... Okay, I see. I was thinking who picked... higher.
No.
You're meaning who picked lower. Right. Oh, who picked
the
lower.
The Giants' average draft
was
23.
Yeah, I would have thought either the Colts or San Francisco.
Right. So the Giants didn't, they hardly know what to do with the ninth pick. I thought they were going to trade the pick.
Really?
Yeah, I thought they were going to trade him because I figured they don't know what to do with the number nine pick. And there were so many good receivers and so many good offensive linemen, they might have been able to get a good one at pick number 20 and gotten another pick somewhere along the line. But they went another direction.
So what do you think about the Eagles?
You know what? I don't know a lot about their draft, I have to be honest with you. I have a feeling that, based on what I saw, that Chip Kelly is still continuing to draft people that he thinks he can mold into their system. Whether or not he can do that or not remains to be seen. That's the impression that I got.
Well, you know, I was surprised that the Packers traded up to a quarterback, Brett Hundley, who I don't know anything about, but I think they traded up to get him.
Is that the guy from Baylor?
Yeah, I think he. I think so.
He was pretty highly touted.
Yeah, but you know they have Aaron Rodgers, and to, for the Packers to trade up, they must have seen something about him that.
How old's Aaron Rodgers?
32, 34.
I'm guessing. Yeah, looking a couple of years down the road. Not now.
Yeah,
not
but
next
he hasn't
year.
played that many years. Remember, he sat on the bench for 5 or 6 years.
He doesn't have the mileage on him.
Well, other than that one year where he was sacked about 9 zillion times, that's a lot. But remember, it's interesting that they'll work with people, meaning the Packers, and they're very loyal to the draft. I mean, they build their team and have, as far as going back the last, I don't know how many years, they've really always built through the draft. In other words, I was even surprised when they took Peppers from Chicago because that's not the way
that's
they usually
the
add
way.
To the team.
Yeah, the Giants and Packers have very similar ways of doing right. business because the Giants are exactly the same way. They're built through the draft and only add free agents, and they never, seems like they almost never make the big splash on free agents, mm-hmm. but they make the subtle kind of moves just to fill in gaps, kind of like the Packers did with Peppers last year. Is he coming back this year?
As far as I know, he is.
Why not, right? He had
yeah.
a good year.
He had a very good year, I think.
He doesn't play
but
every down.
I think
so.
What happened with Hundley is I think the Packers thought he was going to go higher. And when he didn't, they traded. I don't remember what they, but they did trade up to get him. So they must have seen something. And of course, the guy from, what's his name? From Hobart, who Division III school, I mean, he had to be just elated that he was drafted.
It can be done. Division III.
Certainly can. Well, listen, we better take a break and play some news here and get some something from our sponsors, and maybe John will be here, or maybe he won't, but we'll be back shortly.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Services were held today for Officer Brian Moore in New York City. The 25-year-old was shot in the head Saturday by an armed suspect. New York Police Commissioner Bill Bratton, speaking at the funeral, gave the murdered officer a posthumous promotion.
The detective, first grade.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio also said a few words.
Brian Moore represented the best of New York City. He was brave, for sure. But his bravery was matched by his compassion.
Thousands of police officers from across the country paid their respects. The Justice Department will investigate the Baltimore Police Department. Attorney General Loretta Lynch made the announcement this morning.
Into whether the Baltimore Police Department has engaged in a pattern or practice of violations of the Constitution or federal law.
The probe is in response to the death of Freddie Gray. This is USA Headline News.
Hey, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office needs coffee bad. Got any?
Yep, and at a low price.
You have cups?
Staples has 12-ounce cups, 8-ounce recyclable.
Stirs, filters, creamers, sweeteners?
Stirs, filters, creamers, sweeteners, K-cups.
Hazelnut, French vanilla, French roast, dark, light, medium, bold, extra bold?
And decaf.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
No reason.
Make on budget happen. Make caffeinated happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a 33.9-ounce can of Folgers Classic Roast Ground regular coffee for just $6.99.
Offer valid on Q846030 in store and online. It's 5.9 while supplies last. See store staples.com for details.
Bunnies in the garden.
Yeah, rabbits are cute.
Squirrels too.
Till they ruin your garden, feasting on your plants.
Get yourself some Ortho Animal Be Gone. Animal Be Gone uses ingredients that little critters are naturally repelled by, but it won't hurt them. And the no-stink formula works without smelling horrible. Animal Be Gone from Ortho. We don't...
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org.
Okay, Ken, we're back. So are you just back from the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I wasn't there in body, but I was there in spirit. Now, Pat, the Kentucky Derby, to this day, remains the largest single-day sporting event in the United States of America.
That's
175,000 people there.
And actually, my husband, that's been his lifelong dream. Of course, it's too bad that he wasn't a friend of one of the Patriots, because apparently some of the guys just rented a jet so they could go down to the Kentucky Derby.
Mm. Nice.
And I thought at the fight, you know, I did not watch the fight, but apparently there was more celebrity watching and fashion watching, and, you know, I just can't believe that all of those people are that interested in the fights. Probably they're more interested in having, you know, show up and, you know, be seen.
Exactly. Yeah, I think
especially some of the women.
It's a shame. Well, I used to be a big boxing fan. I guess a lot of people used to be big boxing fans. And over the years, it's just faded away, and other sports have overtaken it, and then we have the full contact and the crazy bare knuckle fighting and all that kind of stuff. Sounds like we have a caller, Pat.
Sounds like we have a caller.
But the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight just didn't do it for me. And especially when we'll find out afterwards that Pacquiao was hurt.
Let's see. You fought hurt
so that he could collect his $120 million payday. I don't blame him for doing that, quite frankly.
No, I don't either. John, are you on?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone.
Well,
this
talk up.
And Frieda, you know, sports guy at large calling in.
Yeah. The missing sports guy.
Yes, yes. And very, very unaccounted for and busy. But at this point, just wanted to weigh in on a couple of things. Ken, I caught the end of your comment there, and it kind of sounded like you were talking about the NHL in general and maybe the New York Rangers in particular.
You know, John, it's funny you say that. We were in the exact, 1 year ago today, the Rangers were in the exact position they were last year. Down three.
Against the same team, too, only it was the conference finals.
Well, last year they were down 3-1 to Pittsburgh in the semifinals. Just where they are today.
I thought, that's right. So they came from behind there, and then Washington, too. Washington also. That's right.
I have to tell you, though. Last year, as you recall, and I'm sure you do, because we had lively debate about this, I am supremely confident the Rangers are going to win the last three games and win the series. I am not as confident this year. Still confident, but not to the extent that I was last year. Washington is really good.
I really think a lot of what's going on here has to do with just the strategy that they employed and kind of the almost dubious scheduling of the NHL. What I mean by that is they played very hard to win the President's Trophy. And this happened to the Devils a couple of times, where one time they won the President's Trophy and kind of went out of the playoffs quickly. Another time, the many times they won the conference, and twice they got beat in the Cup Finals. That like four times that happened. And I think what happens is you spend everything you have during the regular season, and then you're really running out of gas at the end. Because I can't otherwise explain it, because they were clearly one of the two or three best teams in the league all year, and then they just ran out of gas.
Yeah, so I think you make a great point, because even in the Penguins series, Rangers did not dominate that series. They won five games, but they were one goal games. I think what happens is the Rangers play at the same level during the season, and they do in the playoffs. And
other
teams have the ability to crank it up a notch, and the Rangers were already at that notch, and maybe there's nowhere else a little higher for them to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, I will say this: even if they go out, and even if they go out tonight in five games, it's still a successful season. It's never good when you don't do better the next year. And, of course, last year they went all the way to the finals. But you would still have to characterize this as a good year. You know, I mean, they won the President's Trophy when their top goalie is out for, like, 25 games.
Yeah, I have no complaints. And they're not playing badly against Washington, but Washington has played better. My hat's off to them. They're shot-blocking monsters. Everyone on their defenseman blocks shots. The goalie's playing great. How do you beat a team like that? They have Ovechkin, the best offensive player in the world. They're blocking every shot, and they have a great goalie. That's a That's a pretty tough combination.
That's the recipe. Yeah, that's they have a dominant player, an excellent defense, and a top goalie, and you have a 50-50 chance to get there. And quite frankly, that's really how the Devils won a couple of cups, you know, with Marty and the defense. You know, the team was built around defense. And as a segue, of course, everybody knows that Lou stepped down as the GM, and in his parting statement, he said that, you know, listen, this franchise has always been premised upon and built upon defensive hockey, and we got away from that. Now, that wasn't really, in a sense, it was, look, we lost Brodeur. You know, he retired. You know, he got old. But they also got some good goalies after that. The real key, and I've said this for years on these airways, is the defenseman. You know, if you look up in the rafters, all the retired numbers are defensemen, and they at one time in the height of their franchise, which would have been from about 99 until 2003, they had five of the top eight defensemen in the entire league on one team. So they could just roll pairing after pairing of defensemen. And they did it for years. And which was different than the 95 team, but I mean, those two cups were won that way. Then you go to the Rangers, and they really don't have dominant defensemen. They don't have guys that move the puck out well, and they don't have guys that shot block well. They're not bad. Don't get me wrong. They're still very good players, again. But my opinion is, and the goalie's excellent, but I really think for them it comes down, they have to go out and get a monster defenseman and free agency. You add a monster defenseman, you know, a top six defenseman in the league to that team, and I think the Rangers are right back there.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head, because in the offseason they signed Dan Boyle, who's a power play specialist and was never really a top defender. And then he didn't really work out. He didn't help the power play the way they thought he would. So at the trade deadline, they get Keith Yandle, who's another puck-moving power play defenseman. And
now, I thought was a great move.
But they're still missing that defensive presence. They have a bunch of guys that are good, but they don't have the go-to defenseman, and that's what they really needed. Because now we have Yandle, well, we still don't have a good power play. So.
Well, again, I think you're also you have to look at where the league is right now, okay? It's a power forward league. And you know, the teams like the Kings, who have won, the Ducks, the Blackhawks, the Bruins, the last 5-6 years, big rough tough teams, you know, with 6'4" defensemen, 6'9" on skates. I mean, these are the teams that are dominating, and the Rangers really lack two or three players like that. They need at least one more big forward, at least one more big defenseman to compete on that level.
Yeah, they're too overall. They're too small. You can see they lose so many of the one-on-one battles because the 5'9", 185-pounder, more often than not, is not going to take the puck away or win a battle with a 6'2", 230-pound guy. That's just the way it is.
Let me ask you guys something, because obviously, years ago I used to watch a lot of hockey. Don't do it now. But one of the things that I think has made football more interesting for the fans is touchdowns. In other words, the offensive play, and the fact that the offenses and the passing and the quarterbacks, you know, going back years ago, you know, they had so many big defenses that there weren't. Maybe I'm wrong, but
that's
it didn't seem to me
point.
That they had as much in the way of offense. I mean, mostly it was you know, running the ball and you know, but I think. I wonder.
That, you're exactly correct, and with that, and Ken, I'd like your opinion on it. But my belief is that's a direct result of changing the rules. I mean, they changed the pass interference rules at least five times in the last 10 years. And now, the joke last year was, if you look cross-eyed at a receiver, they throw a flag.
Yeah, but what about hockey? Would it be more fun for the fans if there were higher scores, or do you think that most of the fans really understand that it's such a defensive game?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, because as Ken knows, a couple of years ago, maybe 5 or 7 years ago now, Ken, they changed the rules dramatically. They got rid of all the clutching and grabbing because guys like Sidney Crosby, and, you know, the elite players in the league said, oh, my gosh, as soon as they get over the blue line, there's three guys grabbing me, and that's where the holding interference penalties went way up. And to some extent, that stimulated the offense, but you're right. There's still not, especially in the playoffs, not a lot of big scoring going on.
And they have tried. They've tried to eliminate the clutching and grabbing, which I call the devil's way of playing hockey. They eliminated the red...
Not unfair, Ted. Not unfair.
They won 2 couple cups that way, so the league said... And the league,
now you sound like Bill. Now you sound like Bill Wolfson. Left-wing
10 years ago.
Two-zone trap. And
exactly.
All the whining he had when the Flyers got beat by the Devils all the time. He always whined about that. And there may be a shade of truth to that. But they also had very good players.
But they've also, in order to try to get scoring back in, they eliminated the red line offside.
Yeah, which I thought was a good move, but it generally doesn't impact. You see it every once in a while, a long pass from inside the blue line, you know, over the red line. You see it once in a while. There's, you know, no more two-line pass,
right.
but not as big. But getting back to Pat's point and shifting into football a little bit, which I'm sure you guys already discussed, the Brady situation, but, you know, teams are doing anything and everything to promote the offense, you know, even down to deflating balls a little bit. And now it's coming
a little bit
much more serious than we thought. And I think what it comes down to is just, you know, when I've been listening to this, my conclusion is that, you know, he is just so obsessed with winning that it's now almost a Roydian, okay, that, you know, this guy, he's always said, every day he gets up and looks and sees, I'm just a sixth-round draft pick. And he's mad at the world, and he wants to beat up the whole world to prove the whole world was wrong. That he was, and he admits that that is his motivation, or was his motivation, years ago when he was like a machine, when they had the best team for 4 or 5 years, you know, won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. It was, hey, I'm a sixth-round draft pick, but look what I can do. And I think it got to the point where they got so elite in their offense. I mean, the 18-0 squad that basically boasted they were going to blow the Giants off the field. They were so enamored of themselves, and of course we know what happened in that game. And I think with Tom, I feel he is going to get a substantial suspension. I think he needs help. I really do. I think, you know, here you are. You've signed a $100 million contract. You live in a $15 million home. You've got one of the best owners, one of the best infrastructures. You're having fun playing the game. You've only had one major injury in 15 years of football, you know, the 1 year he missed. You have all of that.
And not only that, you traded in one hot woman for another hot woman, a hotter woman.
But I think almost what happened to them, here's my take on this, okay, Pat? The last two times they got close, the 18-0 team and then the 2012 team, both heavily favored to win, and they lost. The Giants beat them both times. I think what happened to him this time is they were so obsessed once they got in the playoffs that they didn't want to lose, that he was willing to do anything, even to break the rules, to the point of breaking the rules to win. Because it was Machiavellian. I gotta win this. I can't lose. I mean, because, let's face it, going into that Super Bowl, people kept saying, what's this loss going to do to Tom Brady's legacy? You know, I mean, Seattle was not a prohibitive favorite, but they were a strong favorite. Unfortunately for them, 3 of their 4 guys in the secondary got banged up, and by the second half of the Super Bowl, that's why they had two scoring drives, long scoring drives, that you didn't see all year. Now, suddenly in the second half of the Super Bowl, New England's dinking and dunking, and that's what it was, and there was too many injured players, and that's why Seattle lost that game. I mean, yes, we know the play at the goal line. That was just foolish. But before that, they led up to their 10-point lead and gave up 2 touchdowns because of the injuries. But going into that game, I believe, because all the talk was, if they lose this game, he's won 3, now he would have lost 3. And what does that do to tarnish his image? And I think it really got to his head. He was obsessed to the point where he was willing to, now he won't turn over his cell phone, so it's pretty clear that he sent text messages to the ball boys there to take the balls in the bathroom and deflate them and all that. It's pretty clear that that's what's going on there. I'm just shocked that they don't subpoena those records. Having said that, I think he's obsessed with overcoming this sixth-round draft pick, mental image he has or sense of inferiority that he has, when we all look and say, oh my God, you know, I mean, look, this guy has everything anybody can want in the world. How could he have, how could he feel this way? But I can't explain it any other way.
Well, I know that certainly, I know that part of the incentive for Aaron Rodgers was the fact that he sat around for so long. He didn't get picked by his team.
Well, not as long as Brady.
No, no, you're right. But I think he was a better...
You're exactly correct. For years, and then he had to sit on the bench behind Favre.
Right.
That's why for years he was... You're exactly correct. But you see, to me, that was a healthier obsession.
Oh, no, I think it was. But remember, going back with Aaron, I mean... He didn't get the college he wanted. He played in junior college.
Right.
The only reason he got, somebody came to his school to look at someone else. And so I think he's always felt that, and that in his case has been healthy. It's really given him a lot of drive. But I think you're right. For some reason, and maybe just his character, it's one thing to have drive, and it's another thing to, use the steroids or use whatever to, get ahead.
Like A-Rod and Brady, I think they're beyond obsession, and that's a very unhealthy, and I think the league may look into that. There is some talk that he may get suspended for a whole season.
Yeah, that I've seen that too.
And may cause him to forfeit 2 first-round draft picks. Because, you know, part of this, like any other, now we're talking like lawyers here, Pat, and not that you or I are a criminal lawyer, but I mean, let's face it, when it comes to sentencing, not so much in civil cases, but this is more analogous to a criminal proceeding, judges take into consideration past conduct. And this is a team that the Spygate thing was pretty bad.
Yep.
They developed a culture of cheating to the point where it was okay to cheat. It went beyond gamesmanship. It's like, hey
John, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off. Ken, why don't you say goodbye, because we haven't played some spots and we're going to have to go to rewind.
Wow. Time flies.
So I was able to get some of those fine.
We'll talk to you off the air. Hold on. And we'll just play some spots and then we'll rewind and you can hear the entire week's programs.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor.